Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Amplify Your Business. Today, we're going to be talking about VR, the business of VR, and how to incorporate that into your business in ways that you maybe haven't thought about yet. Anyway, with me today is Alex Rosol. He is the co-founder and CEO of Align VR. Welcome to the show, Alex.
I'm glad to be here, Lance.
So before we get into the whole VR side of things, why don't you tell me a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey by first explaining to me what you think three things are that every entrepreneur needs to know.
For sure. Yeah. So from what I've kind of learned from entrepreneurism, well, if I were to give 3.5 points, first half point is that I'd say there's quite a difference between the theory of being an entrepreneur and actually kind of living the day-to-day life. The theory of course, is like, it's going to be long hours. You're going to be doing lots of things for it. You got to go discover all these sorts of things. You got to find that mystical mentor and all that other stuff for it. I'd say there's a chunk of theory with that, but it changes quite a bit when you're actually in the thick of it, producing a company, working with the team, developing a product. So I'd say that all the other stuff is kind of preamble until you become an actual entrepreneur. And then if I would say three things that I've done through it, I'd say a good place to start is half of everything is sales. So it can often be forgotten. That if you have a wonderful product that everyone must get onto or is the must buy product of this year or this decade, you still have to go and sell it. Sales is certainly a very large chunk of everything. It doesn't matter if you have a great idea, it matters if people are willing to buy it. And there's quite a process to actually getting sales happening. That would be my first thing. Second thing, when you're 90% of the way done on a project or something along those lines, you're about halfway there. So there is always a good amount of polish as you're crossing that finish line of what needs to get done. And accounting for that is great, whether you're putting a project proposal together where whether or not you're sending off a very important email, whether or not you're developing a business plan. There's a lot of work to be done to get that final layer of polish, so it's really where you need it to be. So just kind of give yourself time to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, I love that one. I haven't heard anybody say that one in the 155 or 60 episodes that we've recorded to date. And so I really want to emphasize it because that one is so true, like completely true. It is amazing how much extra effort it takes to get that last bit done just to get it over the finish line. So I love it. Yeah. 50% of the work is still left when you're at the 90% completion stage. I love it.
Yeah, very much so. And so that's taken some getting used to and stuff. And I'd say on the final thing, in terms of time or how long everything takes, I'd say there's kind of two versions of this. Version A is kind of internally. When you go create financial projections or when such and such product is going to be released or when you get the next milestone for all this other stuff, that will take a fair bit longer than originally planned. Like, oh, you know, I'm going to make $30,000 of MRR by 6 months from now. And then it probably ends up being 12 to 14 months from now instead. Finishing off this next development milestone. That all often takes a bit longer, maybe comes a bit from the previous one with the timelines being stretched. And then I'd say as a second part of that, as a startup, you'll be quite agile and quick to being able to move on things, such as like, oh, you talk with a client and you can start the project next week with them. However, everyone else is not a startup. So they will take
Yeah.
much, much longer to get up and running. And the bigger the business, the slower they will move. So
Yeah.
even if they're super excited, there's a bunch of approvals that will need to happen. And even if they say yes, it could be 7 months until you start the project. And lots of approvals to go through and people on vacations and trying to get everyone in the same room again, especially for larger organizations, is super tough. So I need to kind of account for some amount of additional time for particularly large clients and getting
Yeah,
everyone
100%. I know in our earlier days at Ample Media, what we were doing exclusively was the production of explainer videos. And so the animated explainer videos. The clients that were startups or smaller businesses where there really wasn't much in the way of middle management, where the decision maker was the person who we were dealing with. Directly on script and getting storyboard approvals and everything else, things happened really quickly. So we could turn around a project if they were on top of the reviews, and we always did five stages of review. It would really take about 3 weeks is all it would take us to create a great video for them. But then contrast that with, say, government or a very large organization, but government was the worst. Oh my God, like it would take 7 months to do what we could do in 3 weeks. It's just this, it's unbelievable how much the big engine of the big corporations, it just takes so much more effort to get through everybody. So yeah, bang on. And I'd imagine, and we're going to get into this now when we start talking about your business, but you guys would be dealing with some similar companies to what we would have been dealing with actually as well, in the sense where you're working with some smaller companies right through to probably giant corporations and everybody in between. So so let's get into Align VR. What is it and what inspired you to create this?
For sure, yeah. So at its core, Align VR is a soft skill assessment tool for use for either employee hiring or employee training. So you can have groups of individuals go through, let's say between 2 to 4, 2 to 5 participants. They go in, they put on a bunch of VR gear, and then they go through a series of teamwork puzzles that they work on together over a 25, 30-minute time frame. And during this time, from the outside, you can witness all these kind of social collisions. And that, alongside a report, you're able to get a very good sense of what it's like to work with someone in a team context, and begins to see their quirks, both good and bad. So, on the employee hiring side, this is a kind of way of determining in the interview process how to determine someone's soft skills or their fit with your team culture, or if they're going to be working well on the team. And you can provide that information to the hiring manager to make a much more informed decision. Typically, you only see these behaviors months after they've already joined your team. And it would be very much, it's good to avoid the mishire if you can, of course.
Oh, it's incredibly valuable. Like I think what you have here is just absolutely brilliant, because exactly what you just said, it's so critical to avoid the mishire, because the cost of recruitment is just astronomical when you factor everything in terms of lost productivity, because you don't have a position filled, and then all the hard costs of actually doing all the recruitment and the interview and the assessments and everything else, and then the training time that it takes to get them all trained up. If you miss that and you get the wrong person in there, now you have severance on top of that. You've really, quadrupled probably the cost of all the lost opportunity that would have been, realized if you had the right person in place, and all the frustration, the strain on the rest of the team. Like, yeah, it's crazy to make the wrong choice. And we do it all the time, right? As hiring, as managers who are hiring people. So to be able to assess that well in advance is really cool. So walk me through that a little bit. So I would imagine, because there's some costs associated with this, I'd be bringing my candidate down to your facilities, or I think there's a mobile unit as well, or some sort of pop-up that you guys can do if you were working with bigger employers probably. But that's going to be reserved for people who have passed through a couple stages on in the interview process, I'd imagine. Is that correct?
Yeah, so certainly a good number of options there. And to your previous point, the US Labor and Statistics Board determined that a mishire costs you about 30% of their annual salary. So if you're hiring someone that's even like 50,000 a year, that's $15,000 for a mishire, which is not cheap. So we're very much
I think that's personally, I think that's grossly undervalued. That might be for, like somebody working in a very simple job, but any type of thought required job, like a knowledge worker, it's going to be way higher than that. There's just no way around it because I mean, you just think of like the cost to actually recruit that person is going to be in the neighborhood of $10,000, maybe more. If you're using a headhunter, it's going to even be more than that, right? So, yeah, like the cost then of having the wrong person and then the errors and the cost and culture, I think is huge.
Oh, for sure. And like this doesn't talk about the intangibles of like bringing someone toxic into your workforce.
Yeah, exactly.
What if you lose two other employees because
100%.
along with their new manager and stuff like that.
Yep.
So but yeah, the way the our setup works and stuff, there's a couple of ways of kind of working with us. You can kind of contract us out to like you can send us candidates to us and we'll provide you this kind of soft skill assessment to go along with the other tools that you're using as a hiring manager. And then you can also if you're doing a much larger kind of recruitment drive, then we can be set up on site at your location for days or a couple weeks. For example, that's what we did with Airbus. They had us come out for their early careers program. So they hire look at lots and lots of candidates. And in that case, they're all recently graduated students. Resumes all look nearly identical. So having another kind of dimension to evaluate possible team members on was super valuable to them.
Totally. Yeah, I didn't think about that aspect of it, but yeah, that would totally work great in those early stages to narrow the field even further. So when you're putting people into these VR scenarios, are these scenarios that you and your company have created, or are these ones that you've licensed from some other VR developer?
Yeah, so we've done everything in-house
Okay.
and we've developed the platform, the experiences, the puzzles, and we've kind of taken from a much larger set of puzzles that we have available and kind of distilled the ones that give us the most bang for the buck. Through these puzzles, you really put someone not so much in a pressure cooker, but in a very kind of precise, kind of novel environment. And there's definitely a lot of values in having it as a very novel environment. And this is very much designed not to be what they're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Yeah, so it is quite different in terms of the things that you have them actually experiencing within the VR.
Very much so. And the reason for this is within the job interview context, there's something that can It's used a whole bunch, which is known as impression management, which is the candidate's use of changing kind of how they're going to be perceived to what they feel the hiring manager wants to use. So in a job interview, this is rampant everywhere. In business meetings, this happens. Even if you're meeting the parents of your significant other for the first time.
Yeah.
This is all cases where you're managing your impression. And
Totally.
through our Align VR system, we're able to basically turn that off by like getting rid of it entirely, giving them novel environments, novel puzzles, nothing that they already have social scripts on how to do. So for example, if you go into a boardroom, you'll naturally change your posture. You'll naturally change the choice of words that you go through, and whether this is a meeting or with an interviewer. But if you go into a unique VR environment, you don't have your social cues on how you're supposed to act. So candidates accidentally start acting like themselves, of which then that's ultimately, of course, what the hiring manager wants to see. They don't want to see someone super nervous or someone that's trying to do some level of misdirection to kind of be impressed by. You know, they want to get to know their candidates. And I'll say two additional benefits. One is that like candidates love this because if candidates don't it particularly interview well, this is a much different way of evaluating someone on. It's like, okay, does this person work well on a team? Do they work well with others? Do they communicate? Do they have some natural leadership? All this other stuff. And then the kind of second benefit, similar to that, the job interview is often the first interface a candidate has with a company. And typically that's with a guarded interview, a one-on-one. And if you can kind of break that down and have a cool and fun VR experience instead, that's a much more positive impression that is left on that candidate. Even if they don't end up getting hired, they'll leave with a very positive impression of that company.
Definitely, they're going to be talking about it, right? Because this is such a unique way. I mean, at this point, anyway, I assume that this is technology is going to permeate the HR profession quite a bit. So, I mean, it might become less of a novelty in the future. But at this point, anyway, yeah, like I can't imagine somebody going through an interview process where they have to strap on, some Oculus Quest 2s, I think you're saying is what you guys are using to do the interview. They're going to be talking about that for sure. So I'm curious, when you put them into the virtual reality, what I was watching the video there that's on your website, it showed them in that reality with like three other people or so. It looked like it was a group of four that was in the video. Is the hiring manager in there? Are there existing employees with the company that that new candidate would be working with? Are they in there? Like, how are you assessing that? And is that assessment happening from within, or is it something where the hiring manager is watching what they're doing externally?
Yeah, so typically you'd have the hiring manager or evaluator external to the VR experience. So they can even be located physically in the same room, but sitting on a chair at a desk. Now the candidates won't actually see the evaluator. So it's better than a one-way mirror because the candidates only see the virtual world in front of them, and they're also kind of drawn into that world by the other participants in their experience. Those participants can be applicants for the same job, applicants for different jobs, or even future team members. And you can also even, if you really want, you could even put like an actor in there if you want. If you're looking for very specific interactions, you can put an actor to join that set to see how the candidate or candidates react to how that actor goes and stuff.
Interesting. Yeah. So, one of the things that when we're hiring people, we ask them to describe a scenario in which they, dealt with a difficult customer and how did they handle the conflict that resulted or something like that, right? And so, your case, you could insert conflict directly into it by having an actor play a role within the VR world that they're navigating through.
Yeah, and actually, even delving deeper on that, that question, of course, like for the typical job interview, it's a bit of a knowledge arms race. Everyone's kind of heard that question, so they've already kind of prepared in their mind the correct answer that puts the candidate in the best light possible. Now, from the VR one, you can take that question like, oh, on this puzzle, you did X. Why did you choose that? And now that literally just happened. So the candidate has not created a very well-constructed story as to why they chose things. And also the evaluator just saw what happened as well. And can more so delve into the decision-making process of it. So that's one of the kind of unique things with it as well. And you can you can use the Align VR session for more than just the digital report that gets generated, and more than just the social collisions. You can also like use it as a very, very intriguing talking point for post VR interview discussion.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. And so how long have you been doing this then? Is it it's been a few years with Align VR, or is this really, really, really new?
Yeah, so kind of the story of where Align VR came from is that with our previous company, VR Cave, we're in the business of making virtual reality escape room experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And through that process, and that's a different customer demographic on that one as well. That's we sell that to entertainment operators around the world. And in the development of that product, we have to do a lot of thorough testing to make sure that it's both bug-free and it's fun and all this other stuff. And during that testing process, we send several groups through. They test everything out. And as we've been sending groups through, we noticed an interesting trend that after about the first 5 minutes of a group going through, we had a very good idea whether or not they're going to be successful in the 45 minutes they needed or not. So even though we only saw them for 5 minutes, we're like, oh, okay, I'm fairly certain these guys are going to fully beat this game in this test cycle. And it's like, when we took a step back and we're like, oh, how do we know that? Oh, well, it's this team's communicating together. They have a natural leadership, natural leader in the group. They're firing on all cylinders. They're open to ideas, all these other things. And it's like, oh, these are actually soft skills. This team has a good set of soft skills so that they're able to work together and achieve great things as a team. Like, oh, I wonder if there's other places that would be useful.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Kind of from that initial seed, we kind of pulled out and distilled the Align VR MVP. And then this was about in 2019
okay.
when we started this Align VR journey. And we've been able to distill it and update it since then, and added reports and all this sort of stuff. So that's kind of where the Align VR kind of idea and product was developed from. And and admittedly, during the pandemic, it took a bit of a pause because everything was closed and no one was hiring. And we're seeing a very good turnaround now as economies open back up and things have gotten all busy again.
Yeah, so a company like ours right now, so pre-pandemic, basically all of our employees were located here in Edmonton, so they were all local. Post-pandemic, we have been hiring people as we've been growing, and because we aren't working from an office or weren't working through an office from an office through COVID, we were looking beyond Edmonton then as well for candidates. And so we've hired a number of people, all over Canada and in other countries as well. And so a tool like this would need that physicality of them actually being in one of the pop-up rooms or that you guys are creating, or your physical one. Am I correct in that? Or is it something that, we can ship them an Oculus and they'd be able to go through it and we could monitor it remotely or something?
Yeah. So this ends up kind of being the latter case. So it was originally developed with physical co-location. The participants would be physically in the same room as the other participants. They can see each other virtually in the experience and stuff. And then the evaluator can be there as well, and away you go. And that's still, I'd say, the best way it can be run. However, we have added entire functionality so that you can have the candidates physically separated. They can be at home in different offices, and then you can virtually put them in the same experience together.
Yeah,
use a chunk of the immersion of not being able to fully walk around a 15 foot by 18 foot arena, but you are able to, with teleportation controls and a good internet connection, you can have a bunch of candidates located anywhere in the world, all in the same experience together. And the important thing, of course, that you do require 2 to 4 people going through at a time, because of course this is assessing soft skills, which is the skills between people. So you do need multiple people in there. And it's far more powerful to measure actions of people or of participants instead of just asking for a survey. And where people will feel like, oh yes, I'm a great communicator. Oh yes, I have natural leadership. Yes, I'm empowered. All those other things. It's much, much more powerful to really see that in a live action.
And that's what I was thinking. Like it just seems like a natural fit for the workforce, you know, office scenarios of today where we have people distributed all over the place. And so through technology, one can run a very sophisticated recruitment process through a tool like Align VR. So that's pretty cool. I'm also really curious just from a business standpoint. So your experiences, you mentioned that you have Cave VR or VR Cave, sorry, VR Cave was the parent or the original company. Now your target audience was different for that than what the target audience is for Align VR, which I'd imagine you're trying to target mostly, you know, HR hiring professionals in different organizations and in smaller companies, probably the owners or whatever, right? Upper management, C-suite. So in those situations, going from, you know, an industry that you knew extremely well and had a very defined and different target audience to one now where you have a product that's adjacent, but built off of your expertise in this that you've created through your first venture, now targeting a different audience. What has been the biggest challenges in doing that? How did you tackle, I guess, that pivot that you were making in terms of thinking through the market and how to position yourself and reach that new audience?
Yeah, very good question there. So the biggest thing is, so the hardware technology stack, when it was developed in 2019, the hardware stack was the same. So we knew the size of the arena, the number of participants that could be supported, the technology of the games, all the hardware, software, everything worked well with that. And then we modified the software so that it ran better as an Align VR session and stuff. So that was all great and well known. And in kind of taking a step, kind of the learning process for that is the, it's quite a different set of customers we're selling to. So on the VRK side of things with dealing with entertainment operators, in those meetings, 90% of the sales meetings we have, we are talking with the decision maker. A lot of these escape rooms, VR arcades, family entertainment centers are owner operators or mom and pop shops. So we're often talking with the decision maker. Whereas when you're talking with HR, it's like, okay, you're talking maybe with a business partner or a recruiter or with a head of HR sometimes even, but they require additional approvals going up the chain. And even in dealing with Airbus, we actually came in through, they have a innovation department that whose job it is to go out into the world and find new innovations to bring into Airbus. And then that got us introduced into the HR side. And then the HR side, we went through several level of approvals going up the chain of getting, you know, check marks as like, okay, yeah, we can bring this in and things like that. So the sales process is quite a bit different for it. And then another thing that we had noticed, which is maybe specific a bit more to kind of our tech stack, is that, and admittedly, this surprised us a bit, is that on the entertainment side, our owner operators are happy to take on the new technology, make it work themselves. You know, they're not looking often for turnkey solutions that everything's done for them. They're like, oh, we'll pay the lower price. I'm happy to roll up my sleeves and get this all installed and set up and operate ourselves, and away we go. I just need the tools I need for that. And on the HR side, we've definitely gotten a couple headwinds in places of aversion to technology, generally speaking. They would self-describe as they are people-centric, not technology-centric. So we want to focus on the employee relationships. They want to deal with people. And this is where they feel most comfortable. And it's like, oh, but this tech isn't that hard to run. And they're like, oh, no. Well, we have someone else run that with us. So in the case of Airbus, for example, they're a large enough entity. They have a entire IT department whose job it is to run the Align VR sessions for them and stuff. Elsewise than that, that's why Align VR, we're situated in Edmonton as well. And we do also provide this directly as a service because not every company is large enough to be using this on a regular basis. So we provide the services, provide this as a service ourselves just to help reduce the kind of friction on that side. And we found that much less to be needed on the VR cave side. So yeah, it was definitely some learning, and then almost like it's almost going back to the drawing board on the entrepreneur side again, where it's like, okay, well, we have something. Oh, we have to do these customer discovery interviews again.
Yeah.
Learn more about the space, the terminology that's used. And it's like, okay, there's lots of problems that can be fixed. What's the best problems to fix? Where should we be starting? What is our ideal customer? And then what are our adjacent opportunities? All these things again. It's like, oh, right, yes. And seeing how far VR cave has gone, it's like, okay, yes, we've solved all that stuff. And now we need to, we're going through that process again for Line VR. And it's like relearning and re-implementation.
And I like that you mentioned that, because I think there's a lot of people out there that think, you know, just venturing into an adjacent, you know, line essentially or industry, or trying to bring in another segment of customers for even the exact same product, it's like starting over sometimes. And so it goes back to some of the things that you were saying at the very beginning around what entrepreneurs need to know and how long things take, and that when you're, you know, 90% of the way there, you're actually only 50% of the way done. And it's exact same thing, right? It's like, well, you know, you get confidence because you've got things figured out in one stream essentially, but as soon as you start to deviate from that and hop into another, it's another learning curve, especially when you're dealing with different audiences and their needs and just the way that they need to be communicated to, and how to frame the problems that they're having so that your product can be positioned as that solution. So yeah, I think that's really, really wise statement there that you made. Now, in terms of if there was, you know, an ability for you to go kind of, I guess, write yourself a letter and send that back to yourself at the beginning of either your VR cave days, when you're first starting that business, or now, you know, what is it, 4 years ago when you started Align VR, what would be in that letter? What advice would you give yourself?
Yeah, great question. Perhaps on the VR cave side, I read Lean Startup several times, of course, and a lot of those methodologies and stuff. And we applied that well on the product side, I would say, and the technology side. I think it's equally important to be applying that to other sides of the business as well. VR Cave kind of really came on its own as soon as we were able to modify our pricing strategy. So better fit for customers. And that certainly helped. And you know, admittedly, like there are things, I recall a TED talk way long ago, a couple of years ago, that talked about like what makes startups successful and stuff. And sure enough, the cliff notes of that, I believe the number one thing ended up being timing. And you know, timing is outside of your control, of course. However, you can set yourself up being in the right place for it. When VR came back to the main stage, 2015, 2016 kind of era, a lot of hope was kind of wrapped up in virtual reality as solving so many things. And like any hype train, some things come to fruition, a lot of things don't. we're seeing similar things on artificial intelligence and blockchain and things like that. So we'll see over time kind of what sticks. And actually, these days, metaverse has now come back as well as quite a thing. And kind of with timing for us is like we kind of started along those time frames. However, over the couple of years, we have to do a lot less explaining of kind of what virtual reality escape rooms is. So the market's become far more educated on it, and it takes much, much less explaining for it. So that's definitely been a helpful thing. And the technology has gotten markedly better. Much has been done thanks to Oculus. Their Oculus Quest 1 was really quite a game changer. And Oculus Quest 2 was a very impressive improvement on it. And then they've just announced the Project Cambria. I don't know if they have an official name for that yet, but they'll be coming in October, and that'll be a very impressive thing as well. So we've seen wonderful kind of changes in virtual reality. And I guess actually one of the things that we had looked at the beginning, when we tried out virtual reality for the first time, it was, okay, well, this technology is great. It's a new medium that's definitely exciting and worth exploring. What's the best kind of use cases for it? And while we agreed simulation was the best, enterprise customers wouldn't want to start out with that, with a kind of low grade MVP product. Whereas on the entertainment side, you can get much further along with the latest and greatest technology. Even if it has bugs in it, people will still pay for it. So that's kind of why we started on the entertainment side. And then through that journey, we discovered the Align VR side of things. So,
yeah, so I really like what you're saying about the way that you're able to iterate with an audience that is going to be more tolerant of those, you know, things that aren't quite right, you know, the development of the tool or even the hardware, right, in those early days. And so I think that that's just a fascinating way to look at your life cycle development and starting at a place where you know that you're still going to be able to get a product to market, get some revenue flowing and everything else as you continue to evolve and figure out, okay, well, how does it fit into maybe the target audience or the target market that you're trying to eventually reach, which is the enterprise customer. So I think that's just absolutely brilliant. It's a definitely a long game look at things where I think a lot of businesses don't think like that at all. So good on you guys for starting out in that spot.
Very, very much so. And I'd say because we kind of kept at it, everything takes longer than expected on the entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah.
Have a lot more that we can kind of be riding on. We got a wonderfully developed platform, and it's taking a long time to get to here, longer than of course initially expected, but
yeah,
there's a lot of work behind us and a great team kind of supporting everything that we do to get to this point.
Yeah, exactly. Now that you have the core there, whether that's the team, the technology, the experience, the hardware, the tech stack and everything else, now it's just a matter of, okay, now finding out where those best opportunities are. And you're right on the timing thing. I think Google's, you know, huge, huge investments into the metaverse is only going to pay dividends for you guys in the long run, because it's just really pushing both the technology hardware stack further along, but also at the same time, really just the massive adoption or consideration of how do you adopt this within your environments. And from an enterprise standpoint, I'm hearing people talk about VR more and more all the time, and it's really accelerated over the last, in my opinion, well, I think COVID probably helped out too from a timing standpoint. It's accelerated, I think, since the beginning of COVID.
Very much so. And Quest 2 is a very good headset, and I think it's actually eclipsed the summation of all other headsets before it.
Wow.
So many millions of units were sold and stuff with it. So It is quite impressive what Meta has been able to kind of develop and then push out. And they very much have doubled down on the environment, on this entire industry in general. It's really impressive what's been done.
Now, as an outside observer, I would think where the longer term opportunity for you folks is going to be on the scenario building and licensing those out to people, because the hardware costs are going to continue to get lower, the technology is going to get better, and so there'll be much easier adoption, I would think, of those tools internally within companies. And so then it's about, okay, well, the assessment tools itself, so the scenario building and the evaluation building. Is that, am I reading that right? Is that where you guys are seeing your future opportunities and the licensing of that software, the access to that software in the future?
Yes, very much so. And kind of on that vein, it's with when it comes to any kind of technology or product you bring to market, it needs to be compelling and much better than what's currently available. So I believe Elon Musk would say it's got to be 10x better than what's currently available. I'd say maybe 10x optimistically, 5 or 6x elsewise. Not everything I think works for virtual reality. Like you can do a virtual walkthrough of a house. And sure, that's okay. People still prefer going to a physical house if it's been built. And I don't think virtual reality is 10 times better than going there in person. There's a bit of a case to be made if that project hasn't been developed at all, then you can do something quite compelling there. But yeah, in whatever the case, it needs to be, it needs to kind of bring in very powerful game changers into the environment. So I'd say virtual meetings are a bit better in VR than elsewise, but it's not 10 times better in VR versus Zoom. So maybe not VR meetings, but always finding the right kind of connection to making the world much better, much more compelling. It's got to be overwhelmingly compelling in some ways in order for it to get noticed.
It's that's a really good assessment tool as entrepreneurs do that brainstorming and really trying to figure out, okay, well, what are the directions in terms of innovation that we want to go in. I love that as a benchmark, the 10x. So thanks for sharing that, and thanks for sharing your story and what you guys are doing over there. I'd imagine there's a lot of our audience who might be interested in learning a little bit more. What's the best way for them to reach out to you and connect, or to learn more about Align VR and what that can look like in terms of their business hiring practices?
For sure. The best way to find out more from us and also reach us will be going to www.alignvr.com. And from there, you can see kind of how our process works. We can come out as a service or be installed within your company or organization. And we provide, I'd say, three pillars of services. One is Team Qualifier, which is used for the hiring process. Team Enhancer, which is used for an existing team, and you're wanting to evaluate the soft skills and grow the soft skills of a team. And then we have a much simpler Team Booster, which is much more about fun and recreation, a bit on employee engagement and stuff like that. So we're happy to provide any of those services, either on site or at our offices here in Edmonton. And if anyone wants to learn more, alignvr.com.
Awesome. Thanks again. Really appreciate your time today, Alex. And for those of you who are interested in checking out some of our other archived episodes, head over to amplifyyourbusiness.ca there. And if you aren't following us yet on your favorite podcasting platform, just search for Amplify Your Business there. And if you are listening right now via podcast, please rate and review us so that more people can discover us. So thanks again. Really appreciate your time, Alex. And for everybody else on this call, I hope you have a prosperous day.